B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
With respect to the balls, and that there was obviously an issue with the balls.
I don't think anybody knew there was an issue with the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. I choose the balls that I want. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I feel the lace, I feel the leather. I wouldn't want anyone touching the balls. I would zip those things up and lock them away. Some days one ball may feel good, the next day it may not. I want to be very familiar with the equipment that I'm using. This is a crisis. No one's dying, but this is a very important thing. Because to me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them, then you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I grab it, I grip it. To me, those balls are all perfect. Zip those things up, zip those up, and lock them away. To me, those balls are all perfect. Like I said, I had no... Yeah.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. You can hear us on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. You can watch us on Twitch.tv or your Twitch app. Just search 98.5 The Sports Hub. We have tickets to give away this morning for the big-time Jet game.
21.5. Seems to be the consensus on the spread on that one.
I've heard rumors that Sammy D might be back.
No, that is not true, because I saw that you're saying that he might be able to like get up and practice, but they're saying that he would not be ready for Sunday.
Sammy D could do, I'm not wrong. I mean, Sammy D could do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy D's a quick healer. So we have tickets to that game at 7:30 and 9:30.
Did you see Tom Brady out there in front of my workout place yesterday?
No, the TV 12 place.
Yeah, the grand opening thing. He was out there in front of it, and not awkward at all. Red carpet in the middle of Boylston Street, where he would be standing there and kind of smiling, and then like awkwardly, you know, like Chara would kind of come in and like, "Where do I stand?" And they would move Chara over to the middle.
Oh, the best part of the whole thing is, Fred, there was a red carpet, and you have this, you know, the whole billboard that with the TB12 logo behind these guys, so everyone can take a picture of it. There's one big TB12 thing right at the top of the workout place, this mammoth logo. And there was one guy that kept having to move all of these celebrities so you could take a picture right underneath the logo. So everyone would take their pictures and think it would be over, and then there'd be some you know, walk-around guy saying, no, you got to move in here. And everyone looked so thrilled to be ordered around.
Was this guy. Marky Mark there?
You know what? I would have thought he would have shown up. No. Chara was there. Teddy Bruschi was there. Brandon Carlo.
Nothing's
Charlotte
impressive.
Coyle.
Nothing's impressing me so far. You give me a bunch of jabronis.
Well, Chara's not a jabroni. That's a big,
well, he lives
Bruschi's,
here.
Bruschi's not a jabroni.
Bruschi's are always around. Come on. Give me some. Coyle's from here. Give me some stars.
Alex Guerrero?
No.
I mean, it's give me his
some
business,
stars.
After all. So they're all hanging out there.
That's a lame group. That's not an appropriate gathering for such a enterprise.
They all just wanted to see the greatness that I had experienced and experience it for themselves.
Yeah, you get a nice massage.
It was not nice. Afterwards, it was great, but during it, it was one of the most painful things I've gone through in a while. I mean, like excruciatingly, but afterwards, it ended up feeling great.
Those workouts are meant for guys like you.
It is.
That are not playing active sports. They're just, they're supposed to be recouping. And if you're not recovering.
I'm still trying to figure out exactly, because, that was one of the reasons I wanted to go, is like, what is the, like, what do they do that is kind of different than everybody else? You know what I mean? Like, what is the purpose of TB12? And you're right, some people it's for rehabbing, and some people it's like, if you're like, want to be like a peak athlete, you know, they get you pliable and take hits and stuff like that. But I mean, if you're going to open like a store like that on Boylston Street, that's kind of a mass appeal one, I'm wondering still who they're marketing towards. As I said,
it has to be through athletes that are competing, or, you know, people that are lifting tons of weight. I think it's an alternative.
I don't think it's a weight thing.
No. It's to recover from weights and stuff like that. Like, the reason Zolak's daughter went there is that she was a competitive athlete that was having physical problems.
But they don't sell themselves as, like, exclusively a rehab place. They sell it as people who are looking for a more effective way to work out and stay in shape.
Yeah, I think you're better off other places that aren't expensive.
I mean, the first consult was definitely expensive. It was 90 minutes and $240. But then again, I got like a really, really deep massage. And if you're going to get a massage in any place, it's probably going to be about like a really nice massage. It's going to be about $200 anyway.
I get $80. You get a massage. Hour-long massage, $80. At a place where my wife goes.
Oh.
When have you got a $200 massage?
An hour-long $200 massage seems to be about the price. Like, when I was in Vegas, I got one.
With your friends?
No, just by myself.
But when you were with your friends, you got a massage?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I woke up one morning and I went and got a massage.
Seems odd.
Why? It felt great. Felt awesome.
But you're with your friends, you're partying and everything else, and you just get up and get a massage?
I did that by myself, and that was part of the reason. I was out all night, and I thought, you know what? I want to get up, and I'm going to go get a massage. And it felt good. When's the last time you got a massage?
I've been having back problems. I got a massage a month ago.
Yeah. See, I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
But I was in Vegas with my friends.
Well, I mean, it was. What else are you going to do at 10 in the morning?
Oh, go drink.
No, I can't do that at 10.
That's what Vegas is for.
No, not at 10 in the morning. I'd rather just kind of go and do that. And
what were your friends doing?
I have no idea. I didn't like meet up with them until like 3. That was kind of the cut.
Oh.
You just wake up, do your thing on your own, and then at 3 o'clock you meet up, and then you go from there.
So you guys all had your own rooms?
Yep. This time we did, yes. I always had my own room. It was always the other guys who wanted to bunk up and do their thing.
And so you guys would just like go, we're going to be here at 3?
Yep.
Did you know what your friends were doing?
No. No, it was just like, hey, let's meet tomorrow at 3, and that was about it. And everyone's usually kind of recovering from being banged up. Some people slept in. Some people couldn't sleep in, and they went and they, you know, did, you know, stuff on their own. But no, it was like we met up later on each time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't start drinking before like 2 in the afternoon. I can't. Like, that's like, even if I'm like at like a tailgate or things like that, I can't do that because I'll be wrecked.
Wait. So okay. So you have to start drinking later in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't drink. I can't drink around noon. I know a lot of people do that before. Like I did that in college a couple times, and like you're done by 6 p.m. Like you just your day's over. And I can't do that, especially if you're out in Vegas and you've got plans for that night. There's no way I could do that.
Newport, I tell you, there are people drinking at 8 a.m. Yeah, if you go to what is it, Blanchard's, wherever the hell it's called. Yeah, there's people drinking at 8 a.m.
Yeah, the whole brunch drinks, like, you know, breakfast drinks, out on that.
That is the nectar of the gods. You're hungover, a little hair of the dog, you'll be doing all right. All right, there is Patriots tickets to give away. So much going on today. Johnson's going to be in studio.
You said it was going to be 84 this Sunday at the game? Is that what you were saying yesterday? Wow.
Yes.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, you can go see a blowout for and just get some sun.
No Falk fever for you?
No.
Okay.
No, Jamal Adams stopped following the team.
Oh, that's so great.
He's out.
That's so great. So, like, he...
No, because that idiot, Jamal Adams, the idiot defensive coordinator pulled him out.
Greg Williams.
He just committed two penalties in a row, offsides and encroachment. That's why he pulled him out. Well, it was only for like the last five snaps of the game.
And not on national television, you don't pull your best player. That was idiotic. Idiotic. So now he's got that guy against him. And Jamal Adams is like captain team and captain hard ass. And then he pulled him out of a game and embarrassed him. No, that was really dumb. Really dumb.
Maybe he'll demand a trade like everybody else in the NFL when they don't like what's going on with their team.
You know what? He probably will. I mean, that was a guy that was going to be a Jet. I mean, I'll tell you what. They're just such a bad organization. They have a guy who's completely into it. He's a captain in his third year. He's Mr. Jet. All he wants to do is win. He's there. He's great in front of the media. And they pull him and embarrass him after two penalties on national television. He's played something like he's missed 33 snaps in his entire career with the Jets, and they pulled him. I mean, they're a joke. Greg Williams is a joke. That team is a joke. They can't get out of their own way. All right, what do we have coming up?
So Sunday should be fun then, is what you're saying.
For some of us. Yeah.
Do you think they'll beat the spread?
I don't know. If C.J. Mosley plays, they might be all right on defense, but probably not. Tremaine Johnson, they give $70 million to it. He doesn't play, so he's not good enough to play for the team. All right, what's going on, Rich? What are we going to talk about?
Let's get to a game that ended about 15 minutes ago. Magic at Fenway Park last night.
Fantastic. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Tucker and Rich on 95, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Tucker and Rich.
.95 The Sports Hub. Rich, what's going on?
Well, if you watched the entire Red Sox game last night, you probably aren't hearing my voice right now.
Now, fly ball, center field deep. Bradley charging back. Back, he's there to make the catch. Tagging up, here comes the run. Solano in to score. And once again, the Giants are in front by one run, 7-6.
That is Nesson, and you can hear all eight people who were there being very upset by that play. 5 hours and 54 minutes. That's how long it took to watch the Red Sox lose this morning. 7-6, the final score to the Giants. 50 players were used in total, including 24 pitchers.
Love that September baseball.
It ties a
love
major,
that September baseball.
Just rip right through them, baby.
And each team had like three or four pitchers left. That's the thing.
Are they eliminated yet?
The Giants? That's a good question.
Red Sox. You know what? I got to be honest with you. I have not looked.
The Giants are eliminated.
Yeah, Giants are long gone.
Yeah.
So I will double check here.
Are they? Are they nine in the wild card now? To be honest,
yes,
I stopped looking a week ago.
They're nine in the wild card with 12 to go. All so, right. No, they are not officially eliminated yet.
I stopped looking about a week ago. Like, I would look every day just to kind of see whether there was any kind of movement, and it's just, it's essentially become hopeless.
Yes.
But there were 24 pitchers, which tied a major league record for the most pitchers to appear in a single game. Those 24 pitchers threw 551 pitches. That's a lot of fun.
Wow.
One of those pitches, however, was to a guy named Yastrzemski. That's Mike Yastrzemski, the grandson of...
Carl Yastrzemski.
Oh, Dan Roach.
The man they call Yaz.
We love him.
Carl Yastrzemski.
Dan Roach, extremely excited yesterday about the game.
The idol of Boston fans on Beacon Hill.
Yes, he is. Well...
That's got to predate him, that song.
Oh, of course it does.
It doesn't predate him.
You don't think so?
No.
What year do you think that came out?
66, 67, somewhere in there.
Okay.
How old do you think he was at that point?
Four.
How old were you?
Not born yet.
26.
Not born yet. Almost, but not yet.
Well, here's how that at-bat went.
So were you born in 68?
What's that? No, I was born in November of 67. This is after the Impossible Dream season. I think this was part of the Impossible Dream season that they started singing this
okay,
song.
Okay, so, but you're...
We're months, but it's an important distinction to make.
It's how he was conceived.
Yes, my father, the Yankee fan. Very excited about that.
It was in a song.
Yep.
It was in the back of the Impala.
The man they call Yaz. We love him.
Well, here's how that at-bat went.
Fly to center field deep. Going back, Jackie Bradley looking up, and it is gone. Yastrzemski takes it out of Fenway. His 20th home run of the season.
Boy, did he put a swing on this ball or what?
What a magical moment that is.
It's absolute magic. Yep, Yaz hit it out of the park at Fenway once again. That was neat. Not to take anything away from the moment, but he did do it against Nathan Eovaldi, who was pitching up meatballs and five runs over four innings. So
he said it was super special.
It is. It is a little special. I mean, the Red Sox season is gone, but in a season that has been wildly terrible for the last 3 months, the grandson of Carl Yastrzemski leads off, plays his dad's position in left field, and hits a home run. That's pretty. That's a special moment.
You know what they call that?
What's that?
Bonerific.
Matter of fact, I think that was the headline on ESPN this morning.
Yeah, there's Roach was. I think Roach was in seats last night.
Was he?
If I look at Instagram, it appears that he was in seats. That he was just laying in. He had a night off from his sportscasting job. So he took a game at Fenway.
I bet you kept score. I bet you anything he kept score.
No, he keeps score.
He did not score. You know that for a fact?
No, I bet he does keep score.
Okay, yes. Yeah. He kept score.
Yeah, I mean, I have to keep score during these Little League games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Yaz.
0-4.
0-4. Cool. You know the team?
Sorry.
Oh, boy. Well, Yaz finished 2-for-7 on the night. How's your son doing, though?
Pitched three yesterday. Didn't get any favors in the field, but pitched three innings.
Okay.
Your maximum.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Red Sox now fall to 79-71. They're 36-38 at Fenway Park. Here's Alex Cora afterwards, which means this happened about 5 minutes ago.
Close games. You know, we didn't hit with men in scoring position. We didn't pitch well in the beginning, but then we pitched well. We played good defense, but then we didn't. It's been like that the whole season.
Yeah.
So... And that's how he felt.
Okay. How many times has he said that after games? Just listen to his voice. He's like, all right, which note card do I read off this time?
It's just become a broken record.
Yep.
I mean, he's been saying that ever since, what, June?
I think it's since, like, March.
Well, Alex Cora also said yesterday that they will most likely shut down David Price for the season. A decision will come today after he meets with the medical staff. You don't blame Alex Cora for any of this, do you? Like, it doesn't seem like he's the guy to blame in any, I mean, for, because I he's been getting a little bit of criticism at the end of the season, and I don't think that he's quite the guy you need to be aiming it at.
Well, it depends on what you feel about managers. Is it the manager's job to somehow reach inside the player and pull more out of him, and, you know, in a year where...
I would say yes. I would say that aspect of it, yes.
Okay.
But as far as the actual personnel that you have...
No, the personnel...
That's different.
He's rearranging deck chairs, especially with the rotation. Sox don't have... As of last week, the Sox didn't have five starters to fill out the rotation.
But they have plenty of offense, and he hasn't gotten that out of them.
Well, he's gotten offense out of them.
Yeah, he has.
Top four guys.
So he's got the top four guys hitting, yeah. And so there you have it. One, if he doesn't
Moreland,
win,
yeah, Moreland and Pierce and all of those guys that performed well last year were just hard. Christian Vasquez, a career year at the plate this year. Yeah.
Where are they in runs scored this year? Aren't they top three?
Well, anyway, if they perform like this next year, he's going to get fired. So you got going.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that.
Well, the Sox series against the Giants continues tonight at Fenway. Bird, you only got five of these home games left, right?
Yeah, very excited.
And after that, are you done with Fenway? They're not doing anything like Spooky World this year, are they?
I think Bird might be done with Fenway.
Was that it?
Maybe.
That means no. I think Bird's a man that likes his routines.
Likes the routine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They got a bowl game this year, didn't they?
Oh, it's very exciting.
They get the Pinstripe Bowl.
No. It's called, oddly enough, the Fenway Bowl.
The Pinstripe Bowl's in Yankee Stadium.
Yes, that's correct. The Fenway Bowl, it's the American Athletic finisher. Conference and the ACC. The sixth place team for both, I guess, go. This 6-6 team will face that 6-6 team, and BC will host a damn thing every year.
Yeah, so BC, yeah. That's just where they're going to play.
Yeah.
Is at Fenway.
So now they don't have to travel.
Yeah, because that's...
To Idaho or wherever they go.
Yeah, the Boise Bowl, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, another news?
The Pullman Weed Eater Bowl.
Yes. That's one of my favorites.
Pullman Weed Eater Bowl. Oh, my bad.
One of my... yesterday, there was a very controversial photo came out. A leak, if you will, of the brand new TD Gardens look. The yellow seats gone. They have replaced them with brand new seats all throughout the TD Garden, and the days of black and yellow are just behind us. It's now all black when you see it. I thought it looked fine, but people lost their minds yesterday saying, can we not keep anything, any tradition? The reason they kept us was no one was going to Bruins games, and they wanted to make it look like more people were there. And now that they make it actually look modern, and I guess they made the seats a little bit nicer too. They updated the seats. There were people yesterday who were just freaking out over the entire thing. But it seems like the $100 million was put into the renovations there. There's going to be brand new Jumbotrons, a new premium club. I know that what's it called? The Rafters thing. They're finishing all that.
Legends?
Well, the restaurant.
Rafters.
Rafters.
Rafters, okay.
Yeah, they stole my name.
It's the TD Garden Society thing that they got. Already the concourses look better. I mean, the restaurants are nice and everything. They did it. That needed a refreshing for a while. And even at the end of last season, things started to look good. But, man, just the outrage at the yellow seats being gone when there was somewhat of an eyesore to begin with, to be quite honest.
So, when you're going to a game, you're going for what color the seats are. I mean, that's all that you care about. Black seats.
I don't think
I'll go anymore.
I was going to say, I said something to John real quick, but originally I think they did it because the Bruins used to have empty seats.
Yeah,
he just said that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No,
I wasn't paying attention.
No, okay.
I don't blame you.
I just think the seats, like, I mean, anytime you can upgrade the seats and make them, like, kind of, like, modernize them, maybe they should do that with Fenway.
No, you can't.
Make them not face right.
You can't do that at Fenway. It's
good luck.
Beautiful.
I know. It's true. You don't want to mess with tradition. There's the part where people would go crazy. You know, you don't want to mess with tradition. If I'm sitting in section four, I'm facing the bullpen, damn it. I don't want to see home plate.
They should make that place implode and then build something that's actually functional instead of Fenway. Fenway is a effing dump. Boy, is that a crappy park. And I'm not like one for I need modern.
Meet us halfway.
I think the park is amazing except for the seats. It's like everything but the seats.
I don't even know. Just the whole thing is dumb.
Why? It's right in the middle of the city. There's entertainment all around it.
The location is good.
Yeah.
But the park sucks.
See, I don't mind the concourse. All of that seems fine. It's just the seats. The only thing that sucks.
Concourse sucks.
Why?
It's not modern. It's too many lines. It's not the way that it should be.
Well, you're going to get lines in whatever ballpark you go to.
No, there you're wrong,
oh,
Johnny
really?
Boy.
Which ballpark didn't have lines to get things?
Ballpark?
Milwaukee, Detroit. They're all spread out. St. Louis. It's much different.
Well, the ballpark is built to fit the area that they had available to them at the time.
Ah, John, and now here we are.
Yeah.
My point exactly. They should implode it and build a real ballpark.
Now, I'm with you there. They announced plans to build a new ballpark across the street from the old one. many, many years ago, and that fell through.
Right.
Because wouldn't you know it, the property values tripled the second they wanted to build it there.
That's sure. Right.
But in the end, you know, from what they have, they've spit-shined something very, very ugly.
Yes.
They've made it as good as they possibly can.
Which is sad.
And right now, the major problem, if you're going to stay in that ballpark, the major problem is the seats. I agree with Rich.
No, the seats are terrible, but yes. That's just the tip of the iceberg. The whole place is a dump. They get rid of it.
Oakland's a dump. This is a little bit better than that.
Oakland is a dump because they refuse to touch anything. The Fenway is treated like it's a war memorial. I mean, they played baseball there. Congratulations. Like, you know, Ted Williams stood right
yep,
there.
In right
Who
field.
Who cares?
That red seat, Fred. Very important.
Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, Fenway sucks because there's lines. I mean, Fred, will you give me a break? You're always trying to go negative and be like Jones and Felgie, but Jones and Felgie do it with legitimate takes. Your take today is Fenway sucks because there's lines.
No, I didn't.
Like when we had the conversation.
Someone else brought what? It up. Someone else brought up the line.
I didn't bring up the line.
This is like when we had the conversation. There's going to be a book coming out. Me and you had the same conversation on air about Tom Brady and how weird he is. Well, yeah, congratulations. There's going to be a book coming out about Tom from unnamed sources. You're just always coming up with things to try and be like Felgie and Jones without actually coming up with takes like Felgie and Jones do.
Okay, first of all, you call him Felgie, which makes me want to hit you in the face.
Yeah, Kevin, you can't do that, man.
That's not right.
And second of all, hang on a second. So my career, you feel, is I listen to Mike Felger and Adam Jones and try to copy what they do?
Well, not necessarily. Well, no. You do it.
No.
Yeah, we can say that. Yeah, I'll say that you try and copy them without coming up with legitimate takes. Your take on Fenway was that it sucks because there's lines.
No, that's not my... That wasn't...
How do I listen to this stuff? I can't listen to EEI, so I have to listen to you, and I have to hear you complain about lines.
So you think my career...
It's understandable.
You think my career is based on copying Felger, who you call Felgie, like a piece of garbage.
No, dude, you got me on that one. I can't really say much.
Yes. Well, listen, you're absolutely right. I study what they do, and I try to copy it, even though everyone in this room agrees that Fenway is a dump.
No, I agree. The seats are awful. I actually like Fenway. I like going there. All I like the location that it's in. But get rid of the seats. They suck.
Fenway is a dump. And I don't even remember who brought up lines, but whatever.
I think you did.
I believe that you were the one who brought up the lines.
Well, good. Well, F me.
Someone said the last upgrade Fenway had was when they took the trough urinals and made them individual. The troughs were the best.
Yeah, Jenny Dell took us on a tour, you remember?
I think when we played that on the air, somebody at Fenway got angry at us.
Yeah, they get mad at us.
Like, they're like, how dare you make fun of our new bathrooms? I'm like, dude, you did a 5-minute segment where you brought somebody on the air where they were talking about how proud they were of the new urinals.
Not only did we get a tour of the urinals, we got an interview with the architect
of the urinals.
That's right. There's no reason to make fun of that.
Well, they teared down Tiger Stadium, and there was four losers who cared. All right. What else is coming up?
Oh, well, everything's fine in Patriot Land. We will get to, unfortunately, a major piece of the team on the IR, and also we're going to get into more of the Antonio Brown stuff that happened yesterday.
Yeah, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, 617-779-0985. Tom, go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Tom?
There's plenty of things to criticize you all about. You know, ragging on Belichick, the whole Antonio Brown thing. But Fenway Park, criticizing Fenway Park, is certainly not one of them. That is not an enjoyable place to go to watch a sporting event.
Yes, it's absolutely terrible. And thank you. I agree with you.
Have you ever tried to go to the restroom and you've got all these millennials in the aisles taking selfies. I want to grab their phone and throw it on the field, for God's sake.
Well, I mean, well, you got to document that you were at a baseball game. It's so it's such a revolutionary concept.
I think we have we've done a great job documenting the.
I was going to say we've built segments around this phenomenon, haven't
right.
we?
All right, the entire cottage industry of people going to Fenway to not watch the games,
right?
So, I mean, we have.
I could see coming
that.
In from out of town and going, I've been to Fenway, and there you go. You stamp the ticket, and then you're on your way.
Yes.
But so for,
but there are far more people that are there for other reasons, unfortunately.
Right. I mean, you know, if you just want to go, if you're in from out of town, Fenway Park is, you go one time, and then there you've seen it. You've had it.
Yeah, it's a bucket list item for other people in other parts of the country.
Sure, and if you're trying to be completist like Marshall Hook, who's been to over 40 Major League Baseball parks?
Yep.
That is something that you got to do. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, what seemed like pretty good news yesterday morning turned into a pile of crud by mid-afternoon when it was announced that Isaiah Wynn is going to be placed on injured reserve, meaning he'll be forced to miss at least 8 games and won't be eligible to be activated from IR until week 11.
So yeah, toe's no joke, especially for fat people like that.
Yeah, this is weird because on Sunday, Wynn was just making his second career start after getting drafted in the first round last year. He's missed an entire rookie season due to a torn Achilles, and now he's going to miss at least half of this season. And what was, as you said, Fred, diagnosed as a day-to-day injury identified as turf toe. And I think all of us in this room were like, well, if it's turf toe, that doesn't seem like... No, a day-to-day thing. This is pretty bad.
No, originally, they said week-to-week, which I guess technically could be true because right. You're never sure how it's going to react. But obviously, and I'll give you credit, Fred, off the air, said this is no week-to-week thing. He's going to be out a while. And hours later, he's out 8 weeks.
Yeah, you don't get turf toe, especially at that size, and come back anytime soon.
Now, should we be worried about, I mean, the Patriots have blown first-round draft picks on guys that, like Dominic Easley, for example, had a history of bad knees when they drafted him, and sure enough, he didn't amount to much and was gone because he was out for a while. Wynn had a shoulder, I believe, in college. He tore his Achilles right when he got here.
Yeah, but you can't.
And now you have this.
You can't kill him for tearing his Achilles.
No, like, no. I mean, I'm just saying he has a body that is injury-prone. It's not his fault. I'm saying that this is now developing into a pattern.
The Achilles thing is that's not his fault, and that's not,
I didn't
that's
say
not
it was. I'm just saying it's one of those things that he's one of those guys for whatever reason, Rich, that's going to be nicked up
and
have a hard time getting on the field to play.
And also, when you're going into your third year with like 2 games of an experience, it's not an ideal left tackle situation.
No, it definitely sucks. And I mean,
but it's really going to matter.
I'm just going to say you're going to get
it's
him
Skarnecki
back.
When, magic, man.
Well, no, it's not just that. You're going to get him back when the schedule matters. That's the thing.
Right.
I mean, that's a good point. You're
right. First half of the season, I don't know if you need him that much.
You don't need anybody.
So think about that. When they finally are starting to play real teams, which is week 9, I think that's when the Ravens game is, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there a chance N'Keal Harry could be back as well, too?
Well, he's eligible to be back by week 9. That's the thing. You get 2 IRs with designation to return. Harry's the first one. Week 9, he's eligible. And this guy's next. He's eligible week 11.
So everything is lining up Patriots, it seems like.
I don't know when Harry's going to get the ball, but...
I mean,
let's see if Josh Gordon skates the straight and narrow. Let's see if he can hold it together. Let's see what the Brown thing turns out to be. You might need him. You don't know.
Well, let's get to some of the Brown stuff because there was some movement yesterday in the investigation. You want to get to that right after the commercials?
Let's do so. We'll find out what happened with the Antonio Brown investigation coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, there's new stuff about Antonio Brown, as there will continue to be throughout the season.
There is. Yesterday, Brittany Taylor, the former trainer who stepped forward and recently accused Antonio Brown of sexual assault and rape in a civil lawsuit, she met with the NFL for 10 hours on Monday in an effort to assist in the league's investigation into what actually happened here.
Yeah, what could possibly take 10 hours? Like, what in your life could take 10 hours? I mean, to think of anything that you've ever done that took 10 hours, aside from driving or flying.
I have a weird feeling it was one of those things where her lawyers were there and they were making things go long. The NFL had several different people who were trying to work every different angle. They were trying to, I don't know, 10 hours, you're right. It seems like a ridiculous amount of time.
I just don't know if it's, you know, three instances, how you're going to, 8 hours is necessary.
But I mean, you would think it would be a situation where they asked her lawyer or her to show up. Once again, this is all voluntary. She doesn't have to do this.
Right.
So I think what they probably asked was, listen, could you bring us all the evidence that you have that something bad happened between the two of you? This whole thing is a complete cover your ass deal for the NFL. Right. This, the reason they're doing this more than anything isn't just because, well, they want to put out the appropriate punishment. It's because they don't want to keep this guy playing. And then all of a sudden a videotape or some sort of bomb like that drops in their lap, like what happened with Ray Rice, where it shows Antonio Brown doing something awful. So they're trying to get ahead of it and meet with this girl and say, do you have anything incriminating? So they don't look like jackasses if that stuff ends up coming out after they continue to let him play. So, I mean, the NFL's not being like the good guy in all of this. I think what they're trying to do is make sure that they end up not looking like jerks when all this is done. But it was reported that Antonio Brown had previously turned down the settlement, which would have involved him paying her about $2 million. Well, he's denied all allegations. Brown's lawyers insisted that he and Taylor had a consensual personal relationship the entire time. So now they're going to want to talk to Antonio, but don't expect any ruling on a potential punishment anytime soon, because if you look at precedent, the NFL had more than a year to hand down a 6-game suspension for Ezekiel Elliott when he had that domestic violence case happen. Yeah, that was just over a year that it took for the NFL to come to some sort of conclusion on that. And there's a lot of stuff to investigate here. There's multiple incidents, as you said, Fred. There's a bunch of different witnesses and people of interest. The fact that Antonio and this woman had known each other for a long time, almost 10 years. There's a lot of back-checking that they're going to have to do in order to come across making it look like they made a well-researched decision. But needless to say, he's still playing. He's probably going to be playing for a while. And the team that the Patriots will be playing is a Jets team that Bill Belichick seems to have known was going to stink the entire time. Why? Because he traded one of his own players, Demaryius Thomas, to them 2 weeks ago. Something that even he admits he never would have done in the past.
I would say there was a certain period of time when there's no way this transaction would have happened. But, you know, during other periods of time, again, we don't want to help the Jets. They don't want to help us. We're in the same division. They're not the easiest trades to make, but if the trade's good for both teams, do we want to help them? Do they want to help us? No and no, but in the end, if it helps the other 14, it helps us in the other 14 games and helps our team, then it's something that's worth considering.
All right. Okay. All right. Michael, go ahead.
I was just saying that I think it took 10 hours to have that meeting because they need to translate all of Antonio Brown's incoherent ramblings in his emails, where none of it makes any sense at all.
Presented it to her and said, exactly what does this mean?
I had to read those texts three times, and Fred didn't even, after reading it, Fred didn't even realize he had said what he said. Like, he admitted to...
Well, the best was that, when people were like, well, since you don't get it, old man, here's what he's saying. What are you talking about?
I just love how, Fred, you read it several times, I'm sure, like all of us, and you were like, no, he never admitted to really doing anything. No. There's part where he says that he alluded to masturbating
onto her, but I didn't.
No, he said that's one of the first things he says.
Yeah,
if you read it the right way.
Okay, if you read it the right way,
which means three or four times.
My bad, because I couldn't tell if he was admitting to it or if he was acknowledging she'd accused him of it.
It pretty much was, hey, look what I did to you. And so, I mean, whether or not, you know, it was consensual or whatever, those texts definitely show that he's not the best dude.
No, yeah, I got that. But something about his baby mama and that his baby's mama got her and blah, 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 blah. And you can't trick him. Yes, they were very hard to decipher for me.
Yeah, no, I think for a lot of us. Well, as you were mentioning, Fred, Jamal Adams, they'll be taking on the Jets, the Patriots this weekend. And Jamal Adams, not very happy with this situation right now with the New York Jets. And Fred, you've said it a ton of times, one of the better players on that team, if not the best player on the team.
He's the leader. He's probably he might be the best safety in the NFL.
He's far and away the best player on that team.
He's a captain on that team. And stupid-ass Greg Williams pulled them on national television.
Greg Williams is the worst.
Greg Williams is the worst. And he was the guy who made fun of Odell Beckham Jr. And then Odell Beckham Jr. said, I'm going to have the most reception yards of my career during this game.
He didn't make fun of Odell Beckham Jr. What had happened was, well, I mean, it was
He dismissed him.
Well, he dismissed him, saying he wasn't a playmaker.
He wasn't explosive.
But that was after Odell Beckham Jr. was told that when the two teams played each other, when they were both on the other side, when one was on the Browns and he was on the Giants, that Greg Williams had instructed his players to injure Odell Beckham Jr.
No, he said, what do you think about Odell Beckham Jr.? And he says, Odell who?
He said he's a non-explosive playmaker.
No, and then, but before that he said, Odell who? And then, so anyway,
he's also the guy that when he got fired from the Browns as assistant coach said that he was getting phone calls to be a head coach all over the place.
Right, so you have Jamal Adams, who is this guy who is team first. He's a huge leader on this team. He obviously wants to win. And Greg Williams he's got two penalties in a row at the end of a meaningless game because they were going to lose, and he pulls Jamal Adams from the game. And you know, Jamal Adams is a proud guy. He doesn't like that. And so now they pissed him off.
So he went on his Instagram, which is how everyone does it nowadays, and stopped following the New York Jets and took the New York Jets out of his bio. So he was on a New York radio station, and this is what he had to say about the whole situation.
Again, I'm focused on this team. I'm not focused on anything other outside noise. I'm just focused on how we can get better and grab a win.
But we've seen athletes before kind of send messages in that way, using their social media, whether it's unfollowing a team or whether it's taking the team out of their bio. Are you trying to send a message to the team by doing that?
It's social media at the end of the day. It's outside noise. Like I said, I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on this team and how we can get better.
Back-to-back penalties in last night's game, and then we didn't see you again. Were you benched last night?
Yeah, I was benched. They benched me. I try to anticipate a play, which I anticipated wrong, and I was benched. And, you know, hey, it happened.
Well, welcome to the new NFL. He'll be on a new team within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they finally draft a guy.
Take him out of this division, man. I don't want to see that guy.
They finally draft. He's the guy who nailed Pat Patriot.
Yeah.
At the Pro Bowl. They finally got a guy who cares about the team. They finally got a guy. They drafted a guy that's a leader. And then it took the new regime 2 games to piss him off. Benching him. Oh, my God.
I hope the Jets are stupid enough to get rid of him. That's the one guy that can wreck a game for you. If you play the Jets, that's the one guy that can wreck a game for you.
I just don't.
Want him anywhere near my quarterback or my offense.
They're just because it's funny because people are coming up to me to talk about the Jets a lot now. It happened a couple times last night, and it's just they're so poorly run. You see all the. Like the leeway they gave Antonio Brown, you hear about all the leeway that they give these, you know, special players. And, you know, they told Dennis Rodman in Chicago, go out to Vegas on a day off and blow off some steam. And they can't let Jamal Adams get penalized without embarrassing him with all he's done. They're never going to be good.
Ever?
Never in my lifetime are they going to be good. Never. They're the most inept franchise in the history of the world.
I used to think that. About my team. You never know, Fred. Weird stuff happens.
I mean, they made a Super Bowl.
Yep.
In 85. I mean, they did something.
Yep. They won a Super Bowl before you were born, but they won one.
Oh, yeah, the Jets. No. I'm talking about the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
At least
okay.
They've been to a couple Super Bowls.
Yes, that's true. But in the early 90s, we thought they would never do anything.
Well, they'd already
been
to a Super
Bowl. Sam Jankovic, who was
a
University of Miami president, was his team's GM. You know, Dick McPherson was the head coach. Hugh Millen was a quarterback. We thought that we would never see anything ever.
The futility and the ineptitude is just insane.
Rod Rust. I mean,
they're still not worse than the Redskins. Redskins are still worse than the Jets.
The Lions are worse than the Jets. All right.
The Redskins are trapped with bad ownership. That's true.
Ted Johnson is here. He's going to join us for the next hour. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.